Psalm meditation today, as Phil said, is in Psalm 34 in the New King James Bible. I'll read through the text and then we'll look at it and see what the psalm holds for us. Psalm 34, the superscription says, the psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Now, as we go back and look through this psalm, I'm going to start at the end, kind of, and then go back to the front and go from there, because it's important. Well, if I were writing a story or telling a story, I would save the hook for the end. But since this is more of an educational experience than it is entertainment, I'll go ahead and reveal the secret at the beginning so that we can understand the rest of it a little bit better. If you look here in verse 20 of this psalm, he guards all his bones and none of them is broken. Does that sound familiar? Okay, to those of us, or those of you, who read their Bibles often, that should make you think of John chapter 19, verse 36, where this very verse is said to be a prophecy of Jesus and his crucifixion. The reason I bring that up is this is told to us by God that this psalm is specifically about Jesus, the Messiah. The reason we do the psalm meditations as a church, as a denomination, is so that when we look back at the Old Testament writings that we sing every week in church, we can see our Lord Jesus in them. We can see the Savior in the Old Testament. And we can see why the book of Psalms is sufficient and agreeable to New Testament worship. So to start, we're going to go back through this psalm fairly quickly, but we're going to see that the righteous, the one who seeks after God, the one that God protects, is Jesus the Christ in his life on earth. And that the they and the peoples that are mentioned are the covenant people of the New and Old Testament together, those who are made acceptable to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, there's another point I'd like to mention briefly. I read the superscription today. I don't always do that. That's the small text above verse 1. Now, if you guys are looking at a Bible, here's a quick lesson in Bible editing. The bold print right below Psalm 34 was made up by the people who put this Bible together. That is not the Word of God. The text below that is found in the original texts. Scholars are divided, and there's some disagreement about whether that is truly text that's given by God, or whether that's something that the early editors put in there. I tend to think that it is given by God, since it was found in all the texts that we can find. And then below that, starting where we start, verse 1, is the unquestioned original words of the psalm. I read it today because it said a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Modern people, when they interpret the psalms, look at that and say, oh, this can't be about Jesus. The superscription says it's about David and gives a particular part in it, point in his life when he wrote it. But the Gospel of John, God tells us this is specifically about Jesus. So we have to take that as a stronger teaching than the superscription. There's no reason they can't both be true. That David wrote this when he pretended madness before Abimelech. But the inspired word of God is that this is Jesus, the Christ that we're looking at. And Jesus, looking to the Father, as he prepares to be crucified, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall be continued. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And what we see in these first three verses is Jesus calling his people, his covenant family, to worship. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, this sounds like something that David would write, but remember the prayer in the garden before he was betrayed. Jesus was fearful, for he was a man like us, but without sin. They looked to him and were radiant, those who were saved by his work, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Again, we see here the salvation of Jesus actually accomplished. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Excuse me. Verse 8, I believe, refers mostly to the psalm used in the synagogue in the Old Testament or the church in the New Testament during times of communion. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In communion, when we eat the bread and drink the wine in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus, and we see the provision made in the covenant of grace for salvation by sacrifice. Taste and see the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in him. In taking the elements, they show trust in the Father and the salvation provided. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And the promise there that as we seek things from the Lord, that he will provide. The psalmist goes on to talk to the children. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Children, if that's what you want a good life and a good life in the Lord, then you need to seek to keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So prevalent in our society for people to stalk around with a chip on their shoulder, aggressive, looking for trouble or reasons to be offended. And that is not what the Christian is called to do, but to seek peace and pursue it, to depart from evil and do good. Because the eyes of the Lord, children and adults, are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. God is not just a God of salvation, but of providence. And he pays attention. He's not one who started the earth and left it go, as so many people say, but he's active in it. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their trouble. Does that mean Christians will never have trouble? Well, no, it certainly doesn't. But it won't crush them and destroy them. They will be lifted up. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. And so often when we know our sin, well, always, when we truly know our sin and the holiness of God, it'll result in that broken heart and contrite spirit. Now, again, in answer to the, well, does God keep us from having troubles, we see in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Again, that primarily refers to Jesus and his trials, his tribulations on the earth. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And here again is where I keep saying that to properly understand the New Testament, we have to know the Old and the other way around. That the sacrifices and the temple worship is something that we should know because it tells us many things of Jesus. When we read the Passover, we know that when they ate the lamb there on the Passover dinner, they weren't allowed to break the bones. And it was because that lamb pointed to Jesus. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Judgment does come. And people tell you there is no judgment in the Lord. They're wrong. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. I trust we can see this psalm now is not just the song of some ancient king who managed to slip out of a tight spot by lying, but rather it's a celebration of the covenant of grace. Looking back to the salvation from Egypt, but that itself was a sign, was a pointing to the salvation from sin that Jesus would come to accomplish. And how the Passover lamb and the people of Israel all pointed to Jesus. And he is the one who brings about, who has brought about this covenant of grace, the salvation through his broken body and shed blood, that we might look to Jehovah, be glad, and trust in him. And we're going to sing the first part of this psalm, so now we'll sing Psalm 34, Part A.